leading off with the big story of the day. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Go Oilers!
He's only a whopper thing.
Michael!
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
All the meatballs and the pasta, you know?
Jerry, Judy, baby, let's go.
What's up, bro?
What's up, dude?
We're doing good, Drew. How are you?
How are we? What's up?
Oh, my God, when the sun's out, it's absolutely gorgeous. Wow, that dude just got hit in the head. And, spring training baseball game, Mariners against the Cubs. That's
nice.
All right, there's that.
Nugget mode.
Tomato. Damn, that looked like it hurt. That's kind of funny.
He's got a helmet on. He'll be all right.
One of his teammates is being interviewed on TV on ESPN, and his teammate just got plunked in the head. what do you think about Jung?
Oh, that almost was a face shot. Jeez.
Damn.
Wow.
How close?
Oh my goodness.
That was right on the temple.
Yikes.
That's like you.
That's not good.
Like if you don't have a helmet. Oh man. Oh boy.
He's all right. It hit the helmet.
It did hit the, he's going to first base.
So.
I guess he's all right.
Boss man hits me up a couple days ago, Raj, and, calls me up and he's like, hey, I need you to pick a day that you can, come in early, for the show. I gotta talk to you about some stuff. No, don't worry about it. It's nothing bad. As a matter of fact, it's actually something good. I'm thinking to myself, awesome. Okay. So what day do you want to do this? Well, let's do Wednesday, 1:30. How's that sound?
All right.
So that's today, 1:30. I'm kind of driving in. I'm a little bit excited, actually. I'm like, am I getting a bonus? Am I, what's going on?
Is there
something good, right? I mean, he defined it as it was going to be good, right?
Right.
So I show up, and the meeting was so that we could play on his new Xbox, which I loved, which was fantastic. He absolutely crushed me. I had Patrick Mahomes. I threw 100 interceptions. He's really good at Madden, and I'm not.
Why did you have to be the one to do that?
Do what?
To get schooled in Madden.
Oh, I don't. Well, I think he thought it would be fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was. It was fun.
Do you play Madden on a regular basis?
No, not at all. Okay. I played it. We had that like tournament in house that we did.
And so that was the only time
that I played it in probably 10 years.
Didn't you beat Cecil in that?
I did. Crushed him. And Zach by
my memory.
Crushed him as well.
By the way, happy birthday to Zach by.
Kind of.
Sort of. But Zach has the Mile High Hoops podcast at denverfan.com, which is great. And I'm joking. I don't know. Did Zach tell this on the air? Should I? Yeah. Oh, it's okay. All right. So, Stokely thought it was Zach's birthday. So, he brought, I see the cookies and a new addition, some sort of sugared, roll.
Cinnamon rolls. Yep. Yep.
I'm sure they're incredibly delicious. I mean, Stokely just comes in here all yoked up, ripped, bringing in, confectionery items, when he comes in, which is great. It's always great to share stuff, but it's never healthy stuff and it's just torturous. But apparently he thought it was Zach's birthday. So he was going to take Zach out for his birthday.
I know, it's hilarious. Did you hear the depths that he went to for this?
I did not know. Give me the details.
Okay, so Stoke works from home, as do a lot of people,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. We've only got the morning and afternoon shows that I've got both parties in house here for COVID reasons.
Right.
And so Stoke doesn't ever come into the building. So he called up Raj, and he actually has to get permission technically to come into the building because we only have so many people that are allowed to come in and out. And says, hey, can I work from the office tomorrow? So he gets permission on that. He actually calls up or texts Zach By's wife and says, hey, do you guys have plans after the show tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to take Zach out. We're going to take him out, have a cigar, hang out. And so he plans all this stuff. Never mentioned anything about the birthday to Zach's wife. So his wife was probably just like, why are you calling me right now to ask permission to take Zach out?
Right.
But anyways,
right.
Stoke went through quite the effort, actually, to celebrate Zach by his birthday, which I'm really surprised by. I'm impressed by it. I know that I wouldn't go through that type of effort for you. So
why would you?
Right, right.
Right. You probably don't even know when my birthday is.
Not a clue.
Right, that's fine.
No idea.
Don't worry about it. Sometime this year.
What time?
Don't even sweat it.
My birthday
does stand out just a touch. There's one reason my birthday should stand out just a pinch. Is it's the first day of summer.
I don't know the first day of summer.
You're kidding me.
I don't know.
You don't know the first day of summer?
I know it comes like halfway through summer when I think that summer is like halfway over, and then all of a sudden they tell me that summer's beginning.
Do you know the first day of any of the seasons?
No, not a clue.
Come on!
No. Why would I know this sort of stuff?
I don't know, because you know February falls January? I mean, because...
Okay, but I'm going to take a guess. I can take a guess. It's in June.
It is in June.
And it's like the last 3 days of June.
It's in the afternoon, technically, on June 21st, and my birthday is June 22nd.
Oh,
so I'm the first full day of summer, because it's a technicality, but it's close.
Nice.
But that is, so you've never been over Loveland Pass.
Oh, also,
you don't know when the season
starts. I had to check a few boxes today. I needed to get the story about Raj out of the way.
Okay.
I also have a story about Loveland Pass. We did go skiing this weekend.
All right.
And we went to Keystone. So we were going to go over Loveland Pass,
and?
But actually I checked the time and it was like significantly longer to go over Loveland Pass. So, did not do it.
Okay.
However, my wife is currently on Loveland Pass as we speak, listening to the show.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
What's up, Liz?
Yeah.
And she's going to a basin or Keystone?
I don't know where she went today. Actually.
She just chose to do it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
so she texted me to let me know that she's on Loveland Pass.
Well, then she can report back and just tell you the brilliance that
right,
is.
Right.
I mean, it's so ridiculously overhyped. It's just a road.
Okay.
But there's some dramatic little moments and twists and turns, and it's on the Continental Divide, and it's a spectacular view. On a day like today, it's going to be just awesome.
Today was saving her a ton of time. She checked the maps, and it was the opposite of what it was this weekend. It was going to save her like 45 minutes or something.
Yeah, I think it's right. Cause I told you that with no traffic, I think it's faster, but with traffic, it could be slower for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
So, anyways, we got a family member.
You went skiing on Sunday. It was cold on Sunday, man.
Dude, it was really cold.
Yeah, man.
See, I've been having a tough go with the ski season this year.
You have had some bad luck.
I had the traffic from hell a couple weekends ago. Ended up turning around. This weekend, traffic was okay getting up there.
Yeah.
But we got on the mountain. And seriously, dude, when we got to the first lift, to get up the gondola, it took probably 45 minutes. And then we got to our first lift.
Torture.
It took over an hour to get on the actual chair.
Wow.
Sitting there with three kids in tow.
You gotta be kidding me.
Just brutal. It was freezing. It was not a good day.
Were other lifts on the mountain closed because of wind? And that's why they
were
backing
up? I don't know.
That had to be the case.
We ended up only getting like three runs in on the entire day.
Oh, man. Damn, you have had some bad luck. that happened in Loveland the other day. It was just so windy. It felt fine, but up on the mountain, they had 60-mile-an-hour winds, and they just shut the lifts down. So that's probably what it was.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Three runs.
But seriously, can you imagine sitting in that line with three little kids that are just screaming and fighting and yelling and freezing? And
Nope. I cannot imagine it.
Right.
I would have wimped out. That would have been a tough turnaround, man. Like, you get up, and because you must think, it's going to lighten up here at some point.
So this upcoming weekend, I actually got kicked off the invite list. My wife has kicked me off because I was a part of the complaining crew. I was with the kids. I mean, I was just as grumpy and complaining the whole time. So me and the girls have been disinvited this weekend, and my wife is taking my son by herself.
Well, it's supposed to be spectacular weather, by the way.
Well, there you go.
It's supposed to be unbelievable this weekend. I mean, beautiful.
I'm no longer invited, apparently.
All right.
I complain.
Who are you complaining to?
Well, like the people behind me and like the operators and my wife. It's her fault that we're stuck in this line and, you know. people.
That's something like out of a movie or a sitcom. Probably not a very good sitcom, but still, I can see it. The, yeah, this is supposed to be a beautiful weekend. Tomorrow's supposed to be a little dicey, but after that, it's supposed to be awesome. So Zach Bye's, it's not really his birthday. It's next week. You gotta love Stokely, though, because he's still taking him out.
Yeah.
Because it suits Stokely.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Never mind just say, let's just do this again next week, like on your birthday. Let's, hey, we're good.
It, like, Stokely's acting suits. Like this is a special day that he's going to go smoke a cigar. Like call it a Tuesday. What do you mean? What's special about this?
Or call it a Wednesday.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to, you know, call it a day. On the, I talked to Zach and on his Mile High Hoops podcast, DenverFan.com, he is going to talk about, or he did talk about, Jokic being the best player in Nuggets history. And I did hear my guy, Mike Evans, bring this up today. And you know what? The things that Jokic has accomplished are just stunning. And for him to be in the company right now with Wilt Chamberlain, mm-hmm. in terms of centers who have had 50 triple-doubles, and he got it in way less time than Wilt.
Like three and a half seasons less.
Insane. And I mean, he's only behind like, who is it? Like, Magic Johnson and, you know, somebody else. Yeah, I don't know. Oscar Robertson.
Oh, you see what Richie just did?
That was sign
you
language.
You see what Richie just did there?
Sign language for the rundown. All right.
It's in the rundown. I love when he does that. It's in the rundown.
So this is in the rundown.
You know, all that work I do, guys, you know, just read it. It's there. How about you just tell me?
No, here it is right here. I can see it here. So Jokic's 50 career triple-doubles are more than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bill Russell, Bill Walton, Shaquille O'Neal, Patrick Ewing, and Tim Duncan combined. Wow. Wow.
Pretty amazing.
He has 11 30-point games this season. Carmelo had 11 35-point games in a season just once as a Nugget. Last night was a MVP battle on the road. In Milwaukee against Giannis. And he dominated.
He did.
He had 37 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Listen, Giannis was great too. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. But the Nuggets on a back-to-back night blew out the Bucks. So if we're having just some moments where it's kind of an MVP conversation or debate, Jokic won going away.
Yeah,
Jokic is the MVP of the NBA right now.
Well, he probably is. I doubt if he will actually be voted MVP unless the team actually, you know, has some really good success by the time the season's all said and done. If we're just kind of puddling at the end of the season, I doubt if he actually wins the MVP, but he's certainly playing at that level. You know, we had George Karl on yesterday, and he said something kind of interesting about just the way the game is changing. And, you know, I wonder if you could build a basketball team around any superstar right now in the NBA today, who would be the most ideal player to build it around? It might be Jokic. It really might, because he represents the evolving game with all these triple doubles and the way that he passes the ball. And, you know, he's not just a
drive. Are you talking about the specific player or the type of player?
I'm talking about the type of player. Yes.
The type of player. Okay.
Yes.
A big man with versatility like,
Right.
Like Jokic.
Yeah.
Hard to argue.
I mean, true point center. Just
so rare. Who has that? Who can do that? Who has all of those skills?
Him.
And by the way, don't you love how Jokic, it really does feel on purpose, is just trying to dunk more?
He got three or four of them, didn't he?
Yeah. And it looks like of course he can dunk, 7 feet tall. But I think in the past he just felt, you know, it really doesn't matter. Just get the bucket, let's go. He doesn't care.
I think his game is like so lazy, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just so calm. It's just so calm, you know.
Noon at the Y.
Yeah. You get under the rim, and you're just kind of like, well, I could lay this in, or I could jump up and spend more energy.
It has always blown me away because, you know, I'm such a poor basketball player that whenever I've played basketball.
Oh, not me. Not me. I dominate basketball.
I have always had to try as hard as possible. Well, kind of like you, because you were definitely trying as hard as possible and just.
Right.
Being humiliated.
Right.
That
I won the warm-ups. That's all I know.
You won the looks contest.
Thank you.
But Zach was like Brent Barry at the slam dunk contest. I don't think he even took his warm-ups off. But it is always amazing whenever I've played hoops over the years that inevitably somebody will be on the court and you look at them and you don't think anything about them because right. They just don't look like anything. And they're just, you know, very quietly the best player on the court and they don't even try.
That's right.
And I mean, they are trying, but it looks like they're not trying. And that's Jokic. Jokic, there was a really funny Nugget song that I saw on Twitter two nights ago. And it highlighted, like, it had to be the slowest fast break of all time, where Jokic got, like, a rebound under his own basket, slowly dribbled it up the court, turned his back to whoever his defender was. And he's going, like, 1 mile an hour. Just made a little move and laid the ball in. Where so he was the only one that touched the ball all the way up the court and not going fast, I mean, at all. So technically, I guess it is a fast break because it was a rebound and he just went with it. And it just was like, yeah.
You know, the fact that he is legitimately in the MVP conversation and he doesn't have the highlight reels is pretty amazing. He's not the dunker. He's not Giannis. I mean, Giannis is the dunker. He's the guy that's going to take everything to the rim, and he's going to make some super dunk probably 10 times a game, and he's going to have all the highlight reels to end up on SportsCenter, and that's just not Jokic's game.
But he can if he wants to, and I do wonder if he's just throwing a few more down just because, you know, this whole, like, Jokic doesn't dunk thing is annoying to him. And it's like, of course I can dunk here. Here's two or three. Are you happy now? Here's Giannis after the game, speaking about Jokic.
He's a smart player, plays the game the right way, finds his teammate. He's out there to win, great energy. And yeah, man, he just plays the game the right way. He's such a smart guy, great guy. And he plays for his teammate, and his teammates play for him.
I got another one for you. Now, this is a bigger sort of topic. Name me a Denver athlete. But we'll just stick to Denver sports for this. Who brings the most or more out of his teammates ever than Jokic brings out of his teammates? So not only is Jokic great individually, but I do understand the criticism on Carmelo, and we just heard from George Karl, like, he's a ball stopper, he doesn't play defense, he, you know, inevitably, yeah, he's got great numbers, but he doesn't necessarily make everybody around him great. Jokic is great and does make everybody around him great.
Right.
Name me somebody in Denver sports history who had that quality more than Jokic in any sport.
Well, I mean, immediately I would go to Elway and Peyton Manning. Just the influence that you have as a quarterback is second to none. Jokic is kind of playing like a quarterback in basketball.
He's
out there just slicing it up, dealing them. Man, a couple nights ago, he had the most ridiculous no-looker where he was standing at the top of the three-point line, looking to the right, and he's just baiting all the defenders to come to the right and throws a no-looker over his left, hits a three. I forget who even threw it to, but it just incredible vision. The field vision, the court vision that he has is amazing. But quarterbacks have that type of ability for sure.
Mm-mm. Jokic himself said he dunks more because his teammates like it. Response on the text line, Peyton Manning. Okay. I mean, do you think Peyton Manning was unselfish with that? Yeah, I have kind of
I don't know how you qualify selfish versus unselfish as a quarterback when it's your job to throw the ball all around the place. Yeah, so I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I guess as a quarterback is, do you raise the level of the team?
Yes.
And Peyton definitely did.
Without a doubt.
All right. I suppose in Elway, you could say the same thing too. And they do have the championships. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg. I mean, I guess you could fairly look at the best players on championship level teams and say, well, listen, hey, Jokic is great, but if he really is that great, he's capable of, you know, taking them all the way. Because again, you know, there's certain things about, are you just a great player? We talk about that all the time. Good player, franchise player. But there is something about winning championships that establishes legacy as an individual player and what you do for a team.
You know, I don't think we need to even try to compare him to who's the greatest of all time in that regard. I know this. We had a conversation last week about whether he had surpassed Carmelo as the greatest nugget of all time. And the answer is yes. Yes, yes. He is officially the best player in franchise history.
Yeah, on the text line, Nathan MacKinnon. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Forsberg was definitely in that category.
Forsberg, Elway, Pat Lever. All right. Chauncey Billups. Chauncey was a big-time leader. Ray Bourque, that's an interesting one. Ray Bourque is that's really, and you could actually think maybe about like a DeMarcus Ware. Did DeMarcus Ware raise the play of the people around him?
Sure.
Because he was DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, but more so than that, he was very intentional about trying to raise the play of those around him. He was the best player coach I've ever been around. You know, every practice he would spend, well, a lot of practices he wasn't actually out there participating, so he was a coach for that sense. But you know, he'd be in one-on-ones, and whether it's the tackle he was going up against after the rep was over, sitting there having a conversation with the tackle about what he saw, how he's able to expose it, or whether it's his own guys, his own pass rushers, after they go, he's always, after every single rep in one-on-ones, coaching somebody. You know, he was very intentional about trying to raise the level of play around him.
You know, it's funny, somebody's taking a dig on me because I kind of poo-pooed like Elway. And I guess you can rip on me if you want, but everything I've always, nobody is doubting how great John Elway was. Nobody. The guy is one of the top quarterbacks of all time. But you know, his reputation as a player wasn't that he wasn't really kind of an alpha male from all the reports, aside from being great. You know, has that. But there were just so many other sort of loud guys on that team, or, you know, sort of leaders on that team. It was the Elway, from everything I've been told by guys that have played with him, he really kind of just laid back a little bit. Although if they wanted an off day or a hat day or whatever, they would just say something.
I mean, do you think the Jokic is any different than that? I don't. I think he's as laid back as you could possibly get. I don't see him. I highly doubt that he's the guy in practice like Michael Jordan calling out all his teammates. You got to run harder. You got to work harder. You got to do more, right? I think he's probably pretty casual out there.
Gosh, you're probably right. I bet you're right on that.
I'm sure he's a fun guy. I'm sure he's entertaining. Everybody laughs at him.
I wonder if that long-term is actually kind of a problem.
No.
I wonder if that's the type of thing that will not quite get them to a championship with Jokic.
No, absolutely not. You don't have to be that. You know, Von Miller is Von Miller, and he was never a born leader. He had to learn how to become a leader, but he was still Von Miller, and he was still Super Bowl MVP, right? So by no means does he have to be that guy. Now, most of the time you want your best player to be your vocal leader, and that's just the way that it naturally happens, but there are plenty of instances where your best player is not a natural leader.
Does Von Miller get them? Does he raise... Is he the tide that raises all boats? Does the way Von Miller is create a situation where players play better because of him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but I think just greatness does that in its own right. You don't even have to go out of your way to try to raise the level of competition. When you're a pass rusher and you're in one-on-ones, you've got Von Miller on the other side. He's just sitting there watching you. You think you want to do a little extra? You think you want to look pretty good in that rep when you know the Von's about to come up right after you? Of course.
I tell you what, we mentioned DeMarcus Ware. We got the water cooler coming up. I want to run something past you called Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. We'll get to that. Plus, I just saw there's an NFL quarterback, I mean, just seconds ago, got the dreaded vote of confidence from his GM. Okay, let's dig into that coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Oh, man, there's a texter who wants to rip on Stokely.
Oh, let's do that. That's always fun.
We'll get to that in just a sec. Let me give you a little bit of a laundry list here. Thing is, at the water cooler. All right, let me quiz time. So there's a GM who, it just is coming out minutes ago, who gave the dreaded vote of confidence to his quarterback. Can you guess the quarterback? And by default, you'd guess the GM, but
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Not Jimmy Garoppolo. That would be good, though. That's a good one right
Well, I know
there.
John Lynch, he's kind of been on a little bit of a media tour here, having to defend his quarterback and having to say that, yeah, he did give him the vote of confidence.
Oh, when was that? That's
recently,
not who I'm talking about. But
last week or something.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not who I'm talking about, but.
Okay, let's.
I'll do one more. We won't drag it out too long.
Teddy Bridgewater.
You're joking, right?
Yeah, of course I'm joking. No, I don't know who.
Derek Carr, Mike Mayock.
Okay. That's a yearly event for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Every year they have to come out and say that Derek Carr is their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because every year they're flirting with other quarterbacks. Then every year they try to convince you that, hey, Gruden and Carr are neighbors. They're best friends. Mm-hmm. They love each other.
Right, right. I mean, does this sort of deflect the Russell Wilson talk? Is that the point of him maybe advocating?
Well, I think that situation has been a little bit cloudy for a while now. I mean, they went out and signed Marcus Mariota to a very healthy deal. It was like a Case Keenum type of deal. You know, when Case signed with the Browns, they gave him a ton of money because they thought that he might be starting for him.
Yeah.
And they went out and they got Marcus Mariota. They gave him a healthy deal. He's making like $10 million this year as a backup quarterback. So there's a lot of pressure just all over that building to reaffirm that Derek Carr is the guy.
All right,
which I find crazy, by the way. Derek Carr is one heck of a quarterback.
You know, it's I remember it here with Elway early on, and I thought it was actually a really good moment for John, where he admitted that there is a difference between, you know, just being in the playoffs and winning a championship. Like there's levels that you need to get to. And he was talking about other players. Peyton Manning was a quarterback at the time, but like other players to get there. Like, what is the difference? Obviously, the Broncos were a good team with Peyton Manning. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl in the second year, but what was it that got you guys to that championship level from just a really good team? It's a, you know, it's something. I think it's pretty hard to put your finger on. I know DeMarcus Ware was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And you could fairly look at guys who weren't on Super Bowl 48 and were on 50. You're one of them. And I think there are role players that are critically important to just finishing off a team. And you guys didn't even, you had like the most non-distinct offensive line of all team.
No doubt about it. It was a rotating cast. You know, in the Super Bowl year, we literally were rotating starters. We were rotating. There were like 6-7 straight games where I was going every two series with Ryan Harris and Michael Schofield.
Crazy,
at,
right?
At different positions.
I mean, weird.
It was a crazy year.
But it worked. I mean, you guys won 11 games by 7 points or less. There's something there, right?
Right.
Something
right.
there. You had it was working. Well, DeMarcus Ware has kept himself in great physical shape, and I've seen a few highlights of Myles Garrett recently, one playing basketball where he's just throwing down, and he did some sort of box jump where it was, you know, 50-something inches. And DeMarcus Ware topped him. So I want to ask you, is this a big deal or not?
I saw Myles Garrett jump a 64-inch box, and I got inspired. 38 years old, maybe I can still jump 64 inches, but here's 66. But we'll see what's going to happen.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Ah! What's up, baby? Yeah! Hey, Miles, imagine me on one side and you on the other side. Dude, we would crush the quarterback. Come on, man.
Now, when I saw this video, I was just like, how? How?
I'll tell you how, because he works out all day, every day.
It's
literally
amazing.
That's what he does. He's obsessed with working out.
Is that a big deal or not a big deal?
As in, like, do I think he's going to come back?
No,
what's the question?
Just like in general. Is being able to do what he did a big deal or not a big deal?
Well, it just goes to show you that he's a super freak. It goes to show why he was so successful. I mean, Chad Brown is, how old is Chad Brown? He can still dunk basketball every year on his birthday, right?
I think this is the last time because he turned 50, but yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, at 50 years old, he could still dunk a basketball. The super freaks.
I wonder if there's some part of DeMarcus Ware's mind about... I could give it one more year.
DeMarcus does this all the time. All the time. I mean, also look a yearly look, event with DeMarcus
look
Ware.
Look at him.
I know. You know what? I'm sure he could play as a rotational pass rusher and do just fine.
How important was he as a leader on your Super Bowl team?
Yeah, it was a unique year. Most of the time, you're fortunate to have one guy like Peyton Manning or DeMarcus Ware on your football team that is like just an absolute legendary player that you know is the voice of the team. You know, when I was playing in Washington, London Fletcher was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was not in his prime by any means. He was on the tail end of his career, but he was the voice of the team, and he was the elder statesman that when you got around London, you kind of... You stood up a little bit more straight and you acted a little bit more appropriate. And we had two guys like that on that team and Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware. It was very, very unique and definitely incredibly powerful.
And who are those guys in the Broncos right now?
I don't know that they have one. I really don't.
What about Vaughn?
Like I said, I think that Vaughn has learned to become a reasonably good leader. I don't think that he is a leader naturally. I don't think that that's what calls him. He's not like, I mean, DeMarcus Ware, it called him. He wanted to be that coach on the field. And most of the guys that are epically good leaders, it's just a part of their inherent nature. Von Miller is certainly looked upon as a leader of this football team, but no, I don't think that he's like that. But I don't think that's a flaw either. I'm not saying that as a flaw.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, here's the rip on Stoke. The ad with Stoke, technically I think it's a promo, but whatever, where he wants Fitzpatrick or Alex Smith because he wants them to mentor. Isn't that what your quarterback coach does? Why do we need Shula if we need to have a veteran mentor? Seems like a warped idea. I would say no quarterback is like that. Fitzpatrick or Alex Smith will be coming to Denver to be a mentor. They will be coming here, as you have put it, because this is last chance you for veteran quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Meaning every single vet quarterback would look at Denver as a chance that they can start, and that's why they're here.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think that there are certain guys, Fitzpatrick and Alex Smith, are both one of them that they could come in as competition and also be a fantastic leader, also be a fantastic mentor for Drew Lock. But I think that those guys are looking at it the wrong way. I personally have made up my mind that I'm actively pursuing Drew Lock's replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not telling you that Drew Lock can't ever succeed. I've just made a decision that I'm trying to find better quarterback play. So, when I go out and I sign a free agent, it's not on my priority list to find a mentor for Drew Lock. I'm trying to go out and find the best competition I can find for Drew Lock.
Well, speaking of that, the hype train, Tyler, is chugging down the tracks, and it just picked up another car. Not Derek Carr. A truck. A Mack truck.
Mm.
Details on that next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Kevin, nice pull. Oh, man, that feels good today, huh? I saw Zach
Bye. I was just going to say Zach Bye.
Let this roll a little bit for this story. So he's going out with Stokely for his big birthday celebration.
Right.
He goes, I'm going to this place on Arapahoe. Oh, okay, Arapahoe Road, just a block up from where we are. I go, what's across the street? Ta-da. I'm not good with stuff like that. You know, I'm not sure. I go, oh, okay. Well, Is it east or west of I-25? Because I'm not sure. And I go, Zach.
Well, had he been there before? Did you know where he was going?
I don't know, but I'm like, the mountains are west.
Right.
Away from the mountains are east. Arapahoe goes east to west.
Right.
Directly.
It's hard to get lost in Denver.
He goes, I don't know. I go, are you driving towards the mountains or away?
Love it. It's funny. This music definitely makes me think of Zach Bye, though.
Love our guy, Zach Bye. By the way, Rockies were losing 7-0 to the A's. They are now winning 10-7.
Nice. Yes. Oh. I love Cactus League updates. I live for it.
That's what I'm talking about. I did see there's a gambling line. Ah, another Zach Bye reference. Let me tell you about Mac Jones. He is catching the hype train over the past couple days. Have you noticed the hype train on Mac Jones recently, Tyler?
Well, I know it started with you. You're the one that started the hype train with Mac Jones, and now everybody's starting to pay attention because they heard that D-Mac wanted to draft him at 9 as competition for Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm. And then from me, it apparently went to Tua Tagovailoa.
Right.
Who said Mac Jones is profiles like Tom Brady.
Wait, Tua said that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Najee Harris.
I could see it.
Najee Harris, who played with both Tua and Mac Jones, says Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua. And now Chris Sims, ex-Bronco, Chris Sims, who is an NFL quarterback, didn't have a great NFL career, but he's an NFL quarterback, played at Texas, son of Phil Sims, certainly somebody that works for doing NBC, doing football stuff. I respect and value Chris Sims' opinion on
things. Oh, sure, sure.
He has ranked his top 6 quarterbacks. You ready for this?
Okay, Mac Jones is number 1.
He is not, but this is good news for Mark Schlereth. Zach Wilson is number 1.
Wow.
Good news.
Okay.
Good news for you too is you what is Stink? Oh, Stink's being silly. But you have Zach Wilson as your number 1 guy on the Bebop, as does James Merrillat.
I sure
he
do.
Has Zach Wilson number 1, Trevor Lawrence number 2.
Well, it feels like that's the new trendy thing to do, right? Yep. I'm not going to say there's more people that have Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence than don't. Definitely more people have Trevor Lawrence, but it's starting to pop up, and it's no longer like a shocker. Holy cow, somebody chose Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence.
Here's the shocker. Number 3, return of the Mac Jones.
Nice.
Mac Jones number 3, and maybe even more of a shocker, number 4, Kellen Mond.
Oh, that's definitely more of a shocker.
Who I've been talking about for weeks.
Yeah, so Kellen Mond, you have not mentioned Justin Fields yet.
Fields is
5. Which means that Kellen Mond is in front of Justin Fields.
Mond, 4, Fields, 5, Trey Lance, 6. This is according to Chris Sims.
I think Chris is trying a little hard on this one. You know, I mean, I certainly respect his opinion. Chris is a good friend of mine, and I think he's very talented in what he does. I think he's very smart, and he definitely knows how to evaluate quarterbacks, but this feels a little bit too cute to me. You know, Zach Wilson's number 1. You got Mac Jones at 3. Kellen Mond jumps Justin Fields. I'm not buying that.
All right, so you say, you know, Chris Sims. Gar, bar, har, bar, humbug. 2018, before the draft, here's what his ranking was. 2018, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen.
Nailed it.
Hey, not bad, huh?
Nailed it. Yeah, for sure.
2019, he had Kyler Murray, Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, Ryan Finley, Jarrett Stidham, Daniel Jones. Is really down on Daniel Jones and pretty high on Drew Lock. And do not forget, lots of people were speculating Drew Lock would go to the Giants. Instead, they took Daniel Jones. Out of those quarterbacks, Haskins is toast. Stidham is nothing. Daniel Jones looks terrible. I mean, at least Drew Lock is a starter, so he arguably may have got that right.
Sort of. I mean, not a very good quarterback class. Not a ton to evaluate there.
He put Drew Lock, who is right now a starter, over Dwayne Haskins, and I guess Daniel Jones is still a starter. But, I mean, Who do you think is on more firm ground, Drew Locke or Daniel Jones?
Oh, Daniel Jones, for sure.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
2020 class, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa. Well, we don't know about Jordan Love because he was unfortunately drafted by the Packers in a stupid spot, and so we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know about Jordan, but it is interesting that he had Tua listed as number four, and Tua did it come out, and he had his struggles.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. He's hitting home runs so far.
So Chris Sims has a pretty good track record here. Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Wow. Now, I have said my ideal quarterback room, I said Jameis Winston, but I do think he'll sign with the Saints. But vet quarterback, Mac Jones is number one on my bebop, Drew Locke, and Kellen Mond. And I was ridiculed for that. But my argument was I just want the strongest quarterback room. And I love when Mike Shanahan and the Washington football team drafted RG3, and then they drafted Kirk Cousins later. I thought that was brilliant, actually.
Well, that was an entirely different situation. They did that because Mike Shanahan didn't want to draft RG3. That's why they did that. But
I still like the strategy. I like the fact, you know, in terms of developmental quarterbacks, like, hey, you never know. This is really where Mike Evans should be going with his strategy, but he doesn't. But under the hey, you never know thing, okay, draft a hey, you never know guy every year because hey, you never know. That's not your plan. But again, having a strong room, in my opinion, will raise the level of everybody.
Sure. You know, I don't think anybody crushed you on your plan because it was Mac Jones. Nobody crushed you because of that. Hey, if you make an evaluation of a player and you choose that this is the guy that you're going after, great. That's just an evaluation. I chose Zach Wilson. You chose Mac Jones. Fine. No problem. You got crushed because of the competition deal, which I know you've backed off of now. But when you said you were drafting Mac Jones to compete with Drew Locke, that's why you got crushed. The overall room, the premise behind it, fine. I mean, that's more or less what we're all doing.
I'll just stick to that then if I'm not going to get crushed. I just want the most competitive room at every position that is reasonable and possible, and I especially want that to be a competitive room with the quarterbacks. And I do think the Broncos kind of let Drew Locke off the hook too much last year because it was not a competitive room.
I don't like drafting two quarterbacks this year, though, for sure. So I don't like that part of your plan. But
you realize I'd only take Kellen Mond, you know, later on.
I got it.
You know,
no,
I'm not taking him in the second or third round. And even in the fourth round, I'd feel
But in my mind, that's a total wasted pick because if you select Mac Jones, you've got a fantastic backup quarterback on this team already, right now, Drew Locke. That's your backup quarterback.
So I want you to think about this, and we'll address it at football at four. Why is Mac Jones' stock rising? What is going on? Football at four is next.